Hello, and welcome to the Nonfiction Authors Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by the Nonfiction Authors Association.com. It's a supportive community where writers connect, exchange ideas, and learn how to write, market, publish, promote, and profit with your nonfiction books. Since 2010, the NFAA has hosted the Nonfiction Writers Conference, a three-day event conducted entirely online. Yes, we were ahead of our time. I'm Carla King, your host, and here's a quick tip to jumpstart your day no matter where you are in your author journey. Just navigate to nonfictionauthorsassociation.com and grab one or more of our free reports. For example, how to grow your email list, how to generate book reviews, get a traditional book deal, self-publish, boost sales on Amazon, and so much more. And you can join our email list by text message. Get the help you need by picking up your phone and texting the letters NFAA to phone number 22828, and you'll get automatically signed up for our email list. That's NFAA to phone number 22828. And now stay tuned for our guest expert with tips to help you succeed as a nonfiction author. Today's session is with Alan Dino Hebel and Ian Koviak, the book designers, to talk about how to work with interior and book cover designers. I'm Carla King, your host, and I'm happy to have you with us today. Ian and Alan formed The Book Designers in 2005 as a one-stop book design studio servicing indie authors and trade publishers. Alan Dino Hebel is co-founder, manager, customer relations for The Book Designers. Alan graduated from San Diego's Platt College and now has over 20 years experience working in the publishing world as both a book designer and production manager. Alan lives with his family in San Francisco Bay, where he mountain bikes, plays basketball, and jumps in the cold ocean to stay on top of his game. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Carla. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. And Ian Koviak is co-founder, creative director for The Book Designers. He was born in Brooklyn, New York, and spent many years living in India, the Philippines, Hawaii, and California. He brings this diverse life experience to his work, including the benefit of 20 plus years in the publishing industry. He's designed thousands of books spanning every genre. He lives in Northern Oregon with his family and lifts weights, plays guitar, and does archery to keep him in top form. Hi, Ian.
Hi.
No jumping in the cold ocean for you, right?
I've done the cold ocean thing.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah, we've tag teamed on that.
Really? So you live quite a ways apart. How did you meet and become the book designers?
Oh, we met years ago, I'd say when we were around 17 or so. We were both Hindu missionaries, and we were doing different missionary work for the ashrams that we were a part of. And we lived in ashrams in India and kind of traveled around there for a while. And then when we came back, exclusively, you know, individually, we went to different colleges. I was in Hawaii at the time, and Alan was in the San Diego area. And maybe about 2 years later, after finishing our degrees, we joined up forces in San Francisco at a small publishing house. They specialized in the beginning kind of Eastern philosophy books, spirituality, and then ended up segueing and having a lot of imprints that did kind of music, movie tie-ins, and that's kind of their mainstay now. They're called Inside Editions. And so kind of music, movie tie-in books, TV show tie-in type stuff, as well as the kind of more philosophical Eastern philosophy things. And after working there for about 6 years, we ended up just starting our own studio and you know, focusing on book cover design and book interiors.
Yeah, and I would like to add to that. It was nice meeting with Ian in South India in you know, different circumstances and having experiences with as friends with him in that kind of environment, and then, you know, going off to college and coming back and working with a publisher that really specialized in the kind of philosophy, Hindu gods and goddess type, beautiful coffee table books that they were printing. So we had the opportunity of working on some really, really amazing projects, you know, in that the first 5 years of working with a publisher. And then, like Ian said, we branched off from there. So it was a nice segue, and especially into the rock and roll books, doing books for the Rolling Stones, 40 years covered by their 20 best photographers, you know, done with clamshell and limited edition signed prints in vellum sleeves. So really fun projects with a lot of, you know, bells and whistles, so to speak.
You probably have a procedure with these publishing companies, and they really know how to express what they need from you. But you work with independent authors too. And I imagine they don't always come to you with a design brief. So I wondered a couple of things, you know, what do you wish they knew and about both cover and interior design? And but you can both tackle this.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. We've actually been able to extract, you know, some of the cover design direction information we've received from publishers to kind of put together a list of information that we request from indie publishers that may be new to the process. So we have a very general questionnaire that we provide, which, you know, extracts it, which creates a design brief for us. You know, I'm happy to go over that list. If need be, but in general, yeah, it's just very standard questions in regards to the cover design. And, you know, Ian, as our creative genius, he is going to thrive more off of more direction and some creative, something that the client will have in regards to a vision.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that's interesting about design, I mean, ultimately books are kind of like little posters, and it's something that needs to grab your attention from, especially now more than ever, from a distance at a small size. And, you know, the main thing for us is really making sure that indie publishers that are coming to us kind of understand their audience, where their book's going to fit on the shelf, so to speak. And I think a lot of times there's this feeling like, you know, you've written this very unique piece of work and that there's nothing out there like it. And, you know, there's kind of a limitation to that kind of a thinking, because your book ultimately has to sit somewhere, and it does have to fit within kind of a searchable range of you know, the topic that your audience is going to connect with, and that they have to be realistic about who their audience is, competitive titles, things that are out there that are similar. We definitely urge authors to go out there and, you know, look at successful books and what makes them successful. Why are they picking those books up? You know, and so we try to extract that kind of information in sort of a general point by point brief, which is essentially what a big publishing house would provide to us, that a sales team and a marketing team has sat, and editors and whatnot and agents have sat with authors and developed, so that they can have as much ammunition for their designers and enough building blocks to kind of start somewhere with. You know, that's, that part of the process is really important, for, especially for self-publishers, because they're doing a lot of the heavy lifting. They end up honestly playing the part of a marketing team, a sales team, an agent to themselves, and numerous other things, obviously
a
publisher and everything. So it's sort of asking them to wear many caps. And now there's this other tremendous job that is really about getting the book out there. You know, so we're willing to play with things and try things out. But I think what Alan was kind of getting at is that designers work well with parameters. So the more detailed the design brief is, the better I can do my job, because I can really connect with who this book is needing to target and connect with. In traditional publishing, especially nowadays, you know, it used to be that an art director and a publisher sort of had the last word of what a cover looked like, but a lot of agents are right now including in their contracts for authors to have an opinion on that. So it's not uncommon, even with Random House and larger houses, to have a really grueling process of a lot of things getting sort of dumbed down or becoming too cumbersome and too elaborate in their thinking about it. And, you know, like I said, a book cover needs to, you know, have a certain balance of simplicity to it, especially nonfiction work. I mean, you're talking to a fairly literal audience, and, you know, be that business books or self-help or diet stuff or any number of other things in the nonfiction realm, memoirs and whatnot, you know, they benefit from a particular look. And I think that the more indie authors familiarize themselves with the books that are out there right now that are successful, what is it about them that's successful, that's going to help them in kind of honing their ideas and getting realistic about how much a cover needs to really say, and for interiors as well. You know, I mean, that's not uncommon for us to get book interiors that are just way overdone with, you know, subheaders, subsections, sub this, sub that, and before you know it, it's
sidebars, big, pull quotes.
Yeah, it's a lot of little side elements, pull quotes, sidebars, this and that. There's an aspect of that that can be interesting, and as long as the information's not redundant or not distracting or cumbersome as you're reading through a piece, that something's just always pulling you away from the core theme, then I think it's okay. But you know, so we work with authors to kind of highlight when we feel that's happening. And at the same time, it's our job as designers to take anything that an author has come up with and, you know, try to kind of distill the vision, be that for the cover or interiors, and say, like, you know, out of these things that we've presented, this is your idea executed per our interpretation. And here are some things that we feel could also work, or, you know, are our best foot forward and professional opinion of what it could, you know, look like.
So we do try to, you know, me who's dialoguing a lot and interfacing and working on corrections after Ian establishes the kind of look and feel, we try to have a process so that it doesn't allow for too much micromanagement, because there has to be some letting go and us being able to do our job to provide a full layout and to get to that space, a place where we can, you know, get the layout completed. So we try to stick to what we call a 3-round process, 1, 2, 3, try to keep it simple. The first round, we develop our concepts, whether that's for a cover or an interior. Second round, we get feedback and make adjustments. And again, we try to go 3 rounds to achieve an approval. We're always fine going 4 or 5 rounds if there's, you know, minor changes being made, but we try to stick to that so that we can kind of move from stage to stage of a process, from a front cover being approved to a sample layout being approved to then the full layout being approved. So, you know, in order for there to be not too much micromanagement, we do try to request feedback to also be provided in a very clear manner, all in one fell swoop, so that it's not just commenting on parts and there's not a lot lost in the translation.
Back and forth. Yeah, it can make you crazy. I know on the author end too, because we're also juggling our launch plan and our email funnels and all that kind of thing as well. How much time does it take from beginning to end normally? How much time should one budget for it? Now, of course, you have to do the competitive analysis first and all of that. So you may, you know, I may hire you and you say, I need to know ABC, yeah. Right? So if I haven't done it, I need to do that work.
So it's, each project is somewhat different, but a comfortable amount of time for a project, if it's going to be, you know, a novel with running text only, 200 to 300 pages, is about 4 to 6 weeks is comfortable. That allows for a lot of back and forth time for the cover, the layout, for, you know, each approval process. But it is dependent on your feedback timing, on, you know, how finalized all your materials are, making sure there's not going to be a lot of editorial changes after the layout's already been formatted, et cetera, those types of details.
I wonder also, a lot of designers are booked way in advance. What is the normal timeline? Like how much heads up do you need?
You know, we like to take on projects as they come. We never say that we need lead time. I mean, Ian's one of the most efficient, you know, I'm probably one of his biggest fans. I think he's one of the most efficient and best book designers here on the planet. When we get a project, he dives into it. He, you know, studies the background information. He researches what needs to be researched, and he puts his best foot forward. with every project right away when we get it. So for me, my job is to really work out all the details of a project so he could really just funnel in on the design, on the creative aspect of it. So I try to get the details of the trim size, making sure all the front cover text is dialed in and finalized. And so that really he's just, you know, doing what he's most amazing at. So yeah, we've been fortunate to work on a lot of wonderful books and New York Times bestsellers, and you know, from Penguin Random House to Simon Schuster and HarperCollins, and yeah, a lot of fun projects, a lot of university presses we've been working with for over a decade, you know, over 10 years. Source Books has been a wonderful publisher that's continually counted on us and to this day works on us with a lot of fun projects and even series. So nice. We had a huge run with Amazon Publishing as well and their imprints for many years. And we did some really beautiful limited edition collections with them, the whole Jane Austen collection and a Sherlock Holmes collection. So,
wow. So I imagine, you know, if since you've done so many and Ian, you know, you might already be super familiar with that genre. And I just have to say, too, that I can just get lost. Well, not only in your covers, but when I look on your website for the interior design, you know, memoir is just text, right? It's just text. And it's an immersive experience. But the cookbooks and the textbook type things, the full color books, even some memoirs might benefit from a grayscale, you know, running image or something like that. It's astounding to me how creative you can get with interiors.
But I think as a general rule, book interiors should have what's called kind of like a transparent design, right? That shouldn't be something that's really distracting from the core function of needing to, you know, just have the text be readable. It's a balance. I think that we put most of our eggs in the basket of trying to make a real nice typographically sound, clean layout. But at the same time, I always feel there's room to spice something up, give something a little bit of a detail and effect that either ties in the cover art or creates a kind of continuous experience from cover to cover. And, you know, it really depends. I mean, a lot of authors of ours like that type of stuff, but as far as traditional publishing, I'd say in general, most books are pretty straightforward interiors. It's a functional thing that needs to just read nicely. But we definitely like doing some nice fun things with chapter openers and lead-ins and, you know, even simple stuff like a table of contents being different, you know, from book to book and not having kind of a standard fare approach to everything that we touch. I definitely like to do something different with everything. And, you know, hopefully that comes through in the stuff that we have presented on our site. But there's go-tos, there's traditional treatments of things that just makes sense. There is a reason why it's done that way and why it's been done that way. And so, you know, you don't futz with that too much.
And certainly it makes it easier when it comes to creating the EPUB, the ebook version, right?
Of course.
You've got your reflowable ebook, which is just the words reflow into your iPhone or your Kindle device or whatever. And then you've got the fixed layout, which so many authors dream of until they, you know, they see how much it costs to do that. And then they go, okay, text, picture is good enough, right?
I guess the more complicated a layout is, be that cookbooks or kind of photographically driven layouts, you know, where things, content needs to really be married to a particular location and the overall aesthetic is really critical, then yeah, we'll definitely opt for a fixed layout. I mean, it's difficult because the books that are really overdone and nicely designed and there's a lot of moving parts to it and it really doesn't work well for a traditional EPUB format, it's almost like that book is meant to be experienced in print. So it's you know, it's a tough call. You know, I think a lot of people want to get that extra exposure by having it available as a ebook, but you know, how much of that experience of the book is lost when you do that, and are you really in the end getting it to the audience that will buy a book of that type and appreciate it because of the level of design and interest that went into the artistry of it all. So it's a catch 22 for a lot of authors, you know, where they feel like they're going to lose a lot of the effect of something. But yeah, that is your only option, is doing a fixed EPUB or just seeing how it goes without having a digital version of the book. So
right. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes it might be good to have two versions of the book even. I've consulted with authors who've done
reader
that.
Version. Yeah, for sure.
Right. And then they might have bonuses on their website, things like that. Oh my gosh. We don't have a lot of time left, and I could talk to you guys all day about this beautiful design process that you do. You know, you talked about your creative process, just, you know, thinking about and looking at the comparables and all that, and business and communication. What are the materials that authors need to come to you with to get the ball rolling quickly, to prepare? Sure.
Yeah, I have a little list here that of kind of items that we request to start a project. And that's a synopsis of the book. It can be a synopsis really written for us if need be, or something that ideally can maybe even go on the back cover. The latest manuscript, in case we feel like diving into various sections of the book just for curiosity. We don't always read the full manuscript because the design briefs generally suffice. However, occasionally we will be requested to read a manuscript, and we can accommodate that as well. The other thing is a description of what your vision is for the cover. So we do like to receive that, you know, some vision that the author has. Suggested images, sometimes that's helpful. If someone has any suggested images or an idea of the images even, you know, it doesn't have to actually be the actual image, but some, you know, even words leading to the proper research terms for imagery. Covers of competitive titles is another thing that we request so that people can do research in regards to their target audience and you know, competitive titles out there. Another request is covers that you're attracted to. So kind of like your top favorite covers out there, your top 3 to 5 covers, that will kind of gives us an idea of your taste in cover design. So that sometimes is helpful for us to know. And then the last two things are technical things, a confirmation of all the text on the front cover. Very important, but, you know, making sure if there's going to be a testimonial, we have leave room for it or use a placeholder if it's not ready. And then confirmation of the trim size so that we know we're designing in the right dimensions for the cover. So that's it. Just a little list. And that from there, when people provide us that requested information, we're ready to hit the ground running generally.
Right. And I just want to mention, too, that a lot of authors, you know, they submit their books for awards. So do you redesign afterwards? What happens then?
Yeah, usually if the project is a print on demand and the author is printing their work with KDP or Ingram Spark and the like, we, you know, it's not a problem for us to adjust the cover to accommodate some kind of a badge and a blurb that needs to now go on there or any number of things like that. But as a general rule, unless it's provided up front and it's something that that's communicated that they're expecting, it's a small amount of real estate, you know, 6x9, your general cover, 5.5x8.5 to kind of use that. Play up the title, especially now with a lot of covers just being so small on you know, mobile devices.
Oh yes.
You know, things like subtitles also needing to carry some weight, especially for nonfiction books. Subtitles sometimes are, you know, even more important than the title. A title can kind of be a catchphrase, and it should usually be something short and sweet. But a subtitle kind of lets the reader really position the book in their minds. And so that's our main goal. But yeah, definitely at some point, and if it need be, there should be some room for stuff like that, that it doesn't look like an afterthought and shoehorned onto the cover and in effect, you know, detracting from the overall effect. So
a lot of the covers for nonfiction books, especially business books, are huge. They're just big text blocks. And the typeface treatment is lovely. I mean, it's just really, I'm always amazed at what designers do with typefaces.
I know. Yeah, it is fun. Sometimes that's you know, it's one of those dreaded tall orders for designers. We just want an all text cover and, you know, how to make that interesting and how to, you know, and sometimes it's tough, right? If you have like a short word and a long word, you know, it can look lopsided, it can look off. And so, you know, how to balance all that out and give proper emphasis to all the different content in the hierarchy.
And I also just want to mention too, there are certain cover trends. Every time I go to the bookstore, I see a new cover trend, and sometimes it's super fancy, like foil or whatever. But there's been the past couple of years, there's been this, it's especially in fiction and memoir, I have to say, this sort of text that has plants growing over and into it and things peeking out. And I don't know, is that trend at its end? I mean, what's coming next? Do you
yeah
know?
Yeah, there's definitely trends. There's definitely, you know, illustration being used a lot now for things like memoirs. And you know, I guess it really just depends. But you know, certain things achieve a certain amount of success, other publishers jump on board, and obviously indie authors and small time publishing houses, you know, kind of want to fit in, so they'll, you know, buy things and copy things. And we're asked all the time by even larger houses to, you know, kind of mimic the general feel of some other successful title. That's just part of commercial design. It's, you know, it needs to have a familiar flavor to it. And, you know, it's just pop culture. People need to be able to vibe with it as something that they're familiar with, comfortable with, and they get it, you know, immediately. So it's a balance. It's definitely a balance.
Yeah. Well, it's super interesting. I've seen color trends like lavender and orange and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I don't know, I just sort of accidentally saw a magazine that said, you know, new for 2021, I think it was, lavender and purples are going to be next year's colors.
Sure.
Yeah. I was like, okay, go figure.
Yep,
we all have our little industry trends. Yeah. Well, is there anything I've missed, Alan? Is there any last words, or have we covered enough?
Yeah, I think that
there's always more stuff.
Yeah, there is. Well, maybe you could just tell us, do you have these materials on your website? Where can we find you? I know you're big on Instagram. Give us your handles. You know,
yeah, we're pretty generic term book designers. We're the book designers. We have bookdesigners.com. Ian posts a lot of our recent work there. That we're allowed to showcase. A lot of times we have to wait till it's in the public realm to feature the projects we're working on. Bookdesigners.com. And then we also have Instagram, which you can get to very easily from there. And we have an info link on our site, which has a lot of information about the publishing process.
Yeah, we used to have a more complicated form on our website that included kind of a pre-brief that helped us construct the brief upfront. But we found that it was a little cumbersome for our first. A lot of people are searching for designers, and it's really just about getting, you know, a project quoted with several people. And so we wanted to make the process a little bit easier rather than have them fill out some kind of a long list of checkoff items. So
exactly. Okay. Well, Alan and Dino, thank you. Thank you so much. Ian, I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really, really glad that you explained this mysterious process for us. So yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you, Carla.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you to our listeners for joining us for the weekly Nonfiction Authors Podcast. It's available in audio and video, and you can find out where to watch, listen, and subscribe at nonfictionauthorsassociation.com/podcast. You'll also find a feedback link there. And we love your suggestions for other topics. And don't forget to get on our mailing list for notifications about the podcast, as well as helpful webinars, courses, and other events that help you write, publish, promote, and profit from your nonfiction books. Thanks again, and please keep writing. The world needs your experience and expertise. Hey, just a couple more things. You can join our email list by text message now. Get the help you need by picking up your phone and texting the letters NFAA to phone number 22828. That's 22828 with the message NFAA, and you'll get automatically signed up for our email list. Also, we have some great sponsors for the NFAA and for the Nonfiction Writers Conference, including Lulu.com. Check them out.
Looking for a better way to grow your brand and business? Lulu can help. Use our free platform to publish in all of the best-selling formats, including hardcover and coilbound, and connect to our global print network to sell your books directly through your own website. Lulu's e-commerce integrations with Shopify and WordPress allow you to sell your books your way. Create a free account today at lulu.com to get started.